Welcome back, brothers and sisters, patriots young and old, those that would live in this nation and call it home, blessed to hold the cup of liberty in one hand and the torch of freedom in the other, ready to nurture it and pass it on to the next generation as they stand up in their fight against leftism. This is the Positively American Podcast, the place where we dive in to the news and the political goings on in order to orient ourselves towards a future, not only for ourselves, but also for the next generation. That is what we are about. And I am your host, Braden Langley, driving this train of freedom as we go to our end destination. Now, the topics that we're going to hit today, I can almost guarantee you, you are going to enjoy this. This is going to be a banger. We are going through the Rock Effect, which is exactly what we talked about on this podcast prior episode, 2-3 episodes ago, all about what the left is responding to the Rock. It was never about anything beyond what the true problem was. Because it wasn't the Rock. It was what the Rock meant. We're going to break that down. The left is realizing that getting exactly what they've asked for so far isn't so great, because when you promise something bright and shiny and it turns out to be a crap sandwich when you actually experience it, it's not a good look and you have everyone turning on you, which is another thing. I can't wait to show you some of those leftist clips. And then finally, we've got Tabs of Tyranny, which is full of irony and delicious irony at that, because all of a sudden, Trump, who has no morals, has no guiding principles, has betrayed his principles around the abortion thing coming from the leftist media. This is going to be a fantastic episode, and I can't wait to hear what you guys think in the comments field. Give me a rating, give me a share, give me a thought across the board if you like what we're doing, and I appreciate every one of you for being here. Let's kick it to the intro, and then we are going to get it. All right, beautiful people, this is something that is going to be so key to understand as we're going forward. We're about to walk through the outcomes of the policies the left wants and desires and what happens when they get them. But before we do that, let me explain who I am, my background, my backstory, my bona fides in this fight. If you are new and if you are not, welcome back. Thank you so much for tuning in again. So my name is Braden Langley. I run a YouTube channel on, obviously, YouTube called Langley Outdoors Academy. It's all about gun rights and versus gun control. We have over 528,000 subscribers over there, and we're coming up on 150 million views, and it's oriented around a simple principle. Yeah, we can tell you what's going on in the gun rights versus gun control fight, but what are we going to do about it? How are we going to take action to build on the information that we have? Because if you only have one of those pieces and you have no action on the back end, all you're doing is really complaining. And there's no room for that. No one wants to listen to a complainer without action. You can point out a problem, that's fine and dandy, but what are we going to do about it? And that is what we're about to break down. Now, that gun rights versus gun control fight, which is solely what we focus on my YouTube channel, again, 150 million views. It's all boiled down to that same principle of why. And I can tell you from absolute certainty, a guarantee, that the rhetoric and the gun control attacks and the lawsuits and the abuses of the executive bureaucratic system are being translated from the gun rights to gun control fight directly into all areas of our politics. That's why we're here. Because you've got a veterancy over here in the gun rights versus gun control fight where we've seen all their tactics, we've seen all their tricks, we know what they're going to do, and we can almost predict their movements. That's why we're coming over here, because they've branched politics, General, and so are we. We are bringing the fight right back to them, and that's what this is all about. But as we dive into this, I really want to put something crystal clear, put it right on the forefront, the front burner, if you will, the forefront of your mind. Understand what this fight is exactly. This is not a fight of Biden versus Trump. I would even dare say it's not Republicans versus Democrats. I would postulate that this is left versus right. Socialism, centralized command and control economies, centralized power from the left, the utopian ideals, kind of influence from socialism and communism of Central Europe and Western democracies in Europe, China, Russia, versus conservatism, We don't talk about it a lot much anymore. It's kind of boiled down to Republican versus Democrat, but I don't think that's it. I think it's a different paradigm. I think we're talking about conservatism, which is built around the individual and the better outcome for the society off of the individual's actions, versus collectivism, which is a leftist trait. So understand as we go into that. But also filter into this. This is just our version of the fight. If you're listening to this, whether you are an aged, stalwart veteran of politics and you've seen so much and you have been weathered and you are hardened by the storms and the wind of the leftist assault on freedom, or if you are a young little oak sapling and you're just kind of wondering why it's so freaking windy out here, why can't everyone just get along? Understand that you are in a time where this is yours at the moment. This is not something that is archaic and freedom is a thing of the past, and it's not something that you don't worry about the future. This is in the moment your assaults against the, well, not assaults rather, your defenses against the assaults of leftism against your rights will translate directly to the next generation's fight. You are in a chain that is having pressure put on it from different stimuli across the board. If you go back in prior generations, they had different stressors. Currently, we have different stressors, and the future will also have different stressors. It's about handing the freedom along with and doing with it what you can when you have it for your turn and your chain and your link to go to the next one and build them a better future, because we fought back the tyranny. Good luck, next generation. We did our part. That's what you have to understand. We have to embrace the suck. We have to engage the suck, and we have to defeat the suck for all the Marines out there, for the gun rights veterans. A little hat tip. You guys know what I'm talking about. But I can make you two promises, and I'm 37, so I've seen this enough. I can speak a little bit of authority on this. The first one, we're going to win because the human soul, the human condition yearns for freedom. You can't stop it. That's why you're seeing resistance across the board. You're not seeing resistance to Biden. You're seeing resistance to the leftist ideologies that the people who are controlling Biden, like a hand up his butt, that are employing. Open resistance. Bailout for all these different people for debt for college. It's just not fair. Yeah, that's crap. No one likes that. It's easy. Turning Easter into Transgender Awareness Day or whatever the heck they did, which then he forgot 10 minutes later. Yeah, that was a thing. It's always going to be defeated. It's just a matter of time. And here's the second thing. They will always return. And in that promise lies the answer of what we're fighting. Okay. Leftism is based around the grievance traits of humanity. And if you hear nothing else, think about what I'm saying in this one portion. Think about all the grievances, the political pushes, all the talking points of the left, not Democrats, the left, because it is bigger than Democrats. Think about all their points, and they are all based around the grievance traits of humanity. Let me give you an example. Fear, anger, jealousy, hatred. Hatred is a useful tool. You can use jealousy to elicit hatred. Jealousy, class warfare. Oop. Soak the rich. Rich pay their fair share. Democrats adopted that one. Fear. They're going to take away your Medicare. They're going to take away your health care. They're going to take away your abortion rights. He's going to destroy our democracy. Anger. It's sanctioned. It's okay to be angry at Trump because he is, after all, evil. So therefore, the party and the group that has no place for hate, and hate is an evil thing, it's perfectly acceptable if we deem him the target of it. Basically, the left uses the worst parts of what Yoda said leads to the dark side, if you're a Star Wars fan out there. But as I mentioned, the fight is bigger than us as individuals. The fight is a continuation of the struggle of those that come before us, as well as the effort to pass our freedoms on to the next generation, as I alluded to earlier. We are not only the recipients of the rights, but we are the current custodians. Again, going back to that idea and the principle of we are the current link in the chain, building on the prior links in the chain, providing the strength for the next links in the chain. It's our responsibility to keep the powers of the left and the enticements of the left and destruction at bay and hand it to the next generation. As I mentioned, that's why we focus on the tools of marketing for the left is fear, disdain, sanctioned hatred, anger, cancellation, and division. Think about these things as we go through these clips I'm about to show you, because it is all over the place. That's why this podcast is always going to have content, because the very people on the left who we know from their existing examples and their rhetoric will never change. The only thing that changes is the verbiage and the people they use. That's the only thing. The rest of the core tenets are all the same. But that brings us into that first segment, because when we covered what The Rock did, and when I say we did, if you're not familiar, he basically said, I'm not endorsing anybody. I endorsed Biden 4 years ago. I'm not endorsing anybody now. He basically pulled himself out of the political spectrum. And there was a disproportionate reaction to that. We covered it on this podcast. I even covered it on my YouTube channel. The disproportionate reaction and the overblown anger, you can always place something's there because they'll tell you what they're afraid of. The left will every single time. When you're over the target, they're going to unleash everything they have. If they don't care about what you're doing, they're going to kind of go, meh, Republicans are bad, conservatives are bad, but anyway, what were we doing? When you're over the target, that's that screeching, all hell breaks loose leftist response. But the thing about The Rock and what he did was he allowed others to follow the example because he did it from the front. He wasn't looking to inspire others to abandon any political cause, but because the perception was so broad and so loud and so obvious and so spotlighted, it showed others that they can also say, you know, there are some questions around this, and I'm not 100% sure. Maybe we should think about this. Because the left demands total fealty to their points and to their movements and everything. And if you are not 100% on board with whatever the hot topic button is of the moment, you are verboten. You are the opposite. You might as well be Trump. Let's get into some examples. There's a rapper from CNN, this little segment. And I just want you to listen to what the anchor says and how she tries to bait him and guilt him, but he doesn't bite. This is the Rock effect that I'm talking about. Check this out.
Your opinions that you have and the expertise that you bring, and obviously your fan base, so extensive. And Obama was there, Clinton was there. I wonder, do you feel a pressure, given your platform, to get more involved in politics or to state your political views?
Not really, not pressure. It's not really something that I get into too heavily, not really, no.
Who are you going to vote for?
I don't know yet. I'm going to take my time and look at everybody there and see who makes the most sense with what I feel and what I think and vote for that person. I can't really tell you who that is just yet.
All right. This guy has FU money because that was a big old FU. So the CNN anchor, and I want to break this down from a perspective of the way that they're actually asking the question, because you can tell a lot about the angled and led question that she just loaded up. You have a massive response and a massive following. And you were at that big mega fundraiser with Obama and Biden and Clinton. Do you ever feel pressure to be politically active and endorse a candidate like this question? Nah, F you money. Oh, well, maybe I'll go a different way on that. Maybe, have you ever thought about, endorsing a candidate? Yeah, nah. Nah, I'm good. The Rock effect. You don't have to say it because The Rock didn't say it. And the more people that don't say it, the more the left's power diminishes. That's why you saw the massive overbearing reaction to The Rock doing that interview when he didn't even say anything about endorsing anyone specifically. He literally just said, I'm out. Because from an entertainment perspective, from a content creator perspective, from a business perspective, why would you align yourself to a political movement that has 50% support when you as a creator of something, of some good in the free market, has 80 to 100% of support? Why would you alienate an additional large chunk of your audience because you took a forced political stand that you didn't have to take? That's what you're seeing. That's why The Rock was such a huge resistance point. But if you don't have to take a risk to endanger your brand for the greater good of the Democratic Party or narrative or the left, you can get canceled just as easily because you did not show 100% fealty to the movement. How could you not respond? How could you not do something? How could you not meet this moment, as I quoted another Twitter user? That's the point. If you look at this from a different perspective outside and zoom out a little bit of leftism versus conservatism, you see it very clearly. It makes no business sense, but you should do it because I'm going to guilt you into doing it because I am the left and I am the arbiter of everything virtuous, and therefore you must be too, unless you're not. Are you not? And that's just the first clip. And I really love that he was just like, yeah, nah, I'll let you know. I just absolutely love that. But this next clip, this is powerful stuff, because if you're familiar with the left and how they work and how they operate and their distribution networks, one of the big ones is called TYT, or the Young Turks. They are very progressive. They are very left-oriented. And the big thing about them is they tend to go so far left that it's almost like a head-spinning left. Like, it's the ultimate progressive left. Even they are experiencing a little bit of that benefit of the rock magic and the rock system, the rock effect, because they just said something untenable to anyone on the left, particularly a leftist thought leader on the progressive wing. Check this out. This is from the host, Cenk Uygur.
He's right to be concerned about Biden being a threat to democracy himself, maybe not for the reasons that he's stating, but Biden did support anti-democratic movements within the primary. The Democratic Party canceled the election in Florida. They try to keep out every candidate in North Carolina, Tennessee, etc. So they love to rig elections. Yes, I use the word rigged, okay? So you can go cry about it if you're mainstream media. How about you do your job and talk about how they canceled the election in Florida in the primary and just declared Biden the winner? So if you're going to make the argument that you're a champion of democracy, you should probably try it in your own primary.
If you're going to try to call yourself a champion of democracy, you should probably utilize democracy. Excuse me? That's a leftist talking to a Democrat. That's not normal. The rock effect. And if you thought that was crazy, wait until you see what he says next. And this part is absolutely fascinating because this guy is a far left progressive who goes against anything that is mainline Democrat because it's too far to the right. Understand, that's who we're talking about, all right? What he's about to say about the third party candidate is absolutely verboten and not allowed. And yet he does it anyway. Check this.
For the first time today, I'm now considering RFK Jr. Now,
what?
I know, shocking, right? And hold on. Let me tell you why. So is it because I think, maybe he's right about vaccines? No, he's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs on vaccines. And on several other things where he believes in conspiratorial theories that I don't believe in at all. So why on God's green earth would I consider RFK Jr.? Well, until now I hadn't, because of those crazy things that I don't come anywhere near believing. But I thought about it, Anna, and Trump I would never support in a million years. Biden is now funding a genocide and is an awful choice, has been corrupt his whole life. You're never going to get anything but corruption from Joe Biden. So am I positive RFK Jr. would be worse? He would probably, on health and science, definitely he would be worse. But everything else, like anti-establishment, money out of politics, I'm not positive RFK Jr. would be worse than Biden.
I'm not positive that RFK Jr. would be worse than Biden because Biden is insanely corrupt, and he's always been corrupt. This is the guy who supported Biden fully and wholeheartedly during the Trump v. Biden 1.0, before this 2.0 circus we're about to get. Understand what's happening. If you've got the far-left progressives, which is what Cenk Uygur would be on the TYT, the Young Turks, Biden is openly funding a genocide, and he's talking about Israel and Gaza, which is a different thing. We're not going to break into it because that's the whole episode by itself. They're funding a genocide from the Democratic Party and the White House in the United States because they're for Palestine. okay, what can you not say as a Democrat? That. But it also shows the fracturing that's going on in the Democratic Party, from the far left taking it so far to the left, they're leaving the moderate older Democrats right in the middle. You have a fracture. And what he just said is exactly what the middle mainline Democrats are looking at RFK Jr., which is why the Democratic Party, the DNC, is freaking out about RFK Jr., because he is taking votes from Biden, allowing the Antichrist to come back into power, i.e. Trump. Now, they say that. I don't say that, of course. But I'm just saying. Understand, this cannot happen if they would be siloed. If they were in individual silos where they were the only ones and the first one leading the charge, they wouldn't do it as easily. But everyone's starting to do it. This is why the left reacts in that way, and that's why they have to bully everyone out of the limelight and cancel them if they dare stand up against their ideals or their thought processes or their tenets of their party. Philosophy, rather, not really party, because it's not about Democrats, about left. The tenets of their philosophy. If you do not go along with it, you must be destroyed. But hey, speaking of destroyed, who doesn't love when a leftist goes against some of their own policies because it turns out that they're kind of crappy outcomes? Because what I'm about to show you is something that I never thought that I would see, but now that I do, it brings a tear to the eye and a smile to the face. Because we're going to take another trip back to the TYT, the Young Turks. That was not the intention of this podcast, but it just so happened that these things aligned. But this time, we're going to look at the co-host of Jink, who was just talking about RFK Jr. versus Biden. Anna Kasparian is a white woman, and this is very important to the story, because leftist, I don't give a crap what color, creed, sex you are. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. But it's important to the story for what she's about to say. Now, Anna Kasparian is a feminist. She's a leftist. But she's had these moments recently where it doesn't make sense, the policy she's advocating for, because she openly says on her progressive platform that they've gone too far to the left, and it doesn't make sense. Some of the things are calling women birthing people. That's an insult. She doesn't like it. Well, that's a far left progressive rename, rebrand everything under the sun so you can control it. Okay, well, she doesn't like that. She doesn't like the squatters' rights in New York, that squatters just coming in and taking your home and your property. Well, that's weird, because class warfare. That doesn't make sense. The left is all about that, because the evil landowners and homeowners, they're just looking for a place to live, right? Okay, and now she's coming out against what I'm about to show you, which is DEI and then woke policies in pretty much any type of apparatus or system, but specifically, this is about a school that is having a little bit of a conflict because of diversity hires, as what she says, are being put in place. And it's backfiring a little bit. Let's walk into this and let's break this down, because this beautiful people of the Positively American podcast, this is gold. It might even be platinum, because it's coming to roost. Little Reverend Wright there for you. You guys have been in there for a minute. Check it out, the first segment.
Okay, white liberals have trouble because for the most part, they tend to be pretty privileged, okay? Pretty well-to-do. Okay, and are hyper-focused on the culture war stuff, which is typically driven by their unending guilt. Mm-hmm. So just be a freaking human being, treat the freaking students with respect, okay? And can we please just hire the most qualified people to do the job? Because kids can't even freaking read. Okay.
Whoa! Anna, dearest Anna, it's not about children reading. It's about guaranteed equity of outcomes. After all, if all of the children can't read, it's equal. So what she just highlighted is the literal outcome of socialist policies and the leftist progressive policies in a school, but it's population broad. The guaranteed equity promises of the progressive left and the DEI and the diversity hires and everything is that we need an equal diversity distribution, because that will give us a richer experience across the board. Even though all of us will have crap outcomes, it will be equal crap outcomes. What? Why would I ever want that? Because it's just. And woke is all about just. And look at us all equal. It's egalitarian. How amazing is that? It's not amazing. In fact, she just said some things which I think are personally offensive. I take offense because she said the word white, and that is not very inclusive or exclusive. And of course, I'm being sarcastic because it's idiotic what the left and the woke ideology leads you to. But she just said it out loud. The latte liberals, which is what I call them, but she says the white liberals who are generally affluent, ooh, they got money? Well, that's a strike against them. That's not good. And they care more about the hyper-focused partisan issues around race relations and DEI and all these social activist causes while they're sitting in their Range Rovers and their Teslas on their iPhones. Because they just care so much because of that insane white guilt. Sidebar, I have no white guilt. I'm not going to feel bad because of my skin color. That I think that would qualify as what we used to call racism, but now I think it's just called not racism if you're white, but if you're not white, then it is racism. But if you don't agree with it and you're anti-racist, but you're not anti-racist enough, it's just stupidity. But, you know, I mean, we are talking about the woke policies of socialism, so that is proven stupidity. But I digress. Now the students can't even read. Well, that's equal. Again, I'm being sarcastic because this is the promised outcomes of socialism, of wokeism, of progressivism. It's not about meritocracy because that is evil. Meritocracy leads to inequities in society. Financial? Oh, that's not fair. How can you have more money than I can? How can you have a bigger house or better or a boat? How can you live in a better area? Meritocracy leads to inequities and wealth distribution, and that's just not fair. So we're just going to all live in the pigsty together and make it equal. But anyway, let's go to the next one because I got three clips. This stuff is rich beyond rich. This is like the richest, most decadent velvet cake you've ever had. Let's get it, Anna, hit it.
And we're having a discussion about like, is the double blind hiring process increasing diversity when the person who's implementing this policy isn't even following it and deciding to hire her friends instead?
Yeah,
100%. Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
If you didn't have the needless white guilt, if you didn't have the patronizing.
It's unbearable. Say the people who literally started the idea of white guilt, propagated white guilt, and literally built an entire political movement around the fact that a person is bad based on their skin color because they're naturally racist based on their skin color without ever talking to them. It's unbearable. Yes, you are experiencing the fruit of which the tree you planted came from. It's not hard. You planted the seeds of division and you fomented anger and hatred against people, divided them into buckets, and now you are shocked and surprised when it doesn't work out. The kids can't even freaking read. No kidding, but dang it, are they equal. What she doesn't realize, and what Jink doesn't realize, and what all the leftist progressives and wokies don't realize, is in this segment, and if you hear nothing else of this, please hear this in this segment. What they are describing in talking about a school and the problems that are recommended and realized in schools when you apply these policies is the problems with socialism across the broad population. They are literally hyper-focused on this one issue, but they are missing that the entire forest is made of the exact same examples, but on a broad politic affecting 330 million people that requires the destruction of the greatest system of freedom that has ever existed on this planet. And it's lost on them. But not you and I. Stalwart oaks of freedom and little saplings of freedom. We got one more thing because DEI is about to take another real bad hit from Anna Kasparian. Progressive leftists, they just can't see it. But we can. Let's get the third clip.
You have diversity hires who are deeply religious and anti-trans versus transgender students who feel unsafe versus, you know, honestly, the majority of the bullies are described as Black and Latino. So then you have the Black and Latino students who are being protected by the counselors and by the school because they really want to implement restorative justice. And guess what? No one's happy. And this is not an environment that's conducive to learning, which is what the school is supposed to be about.
That's weird. So in the exact same sentence, you've got woke policy. These are all her quotes. You've got diversity hires who are deeply religious with a different religion of what she prescribes to, which is holding different views of transgenderism. And therefore, the religious people who are instilled by DEI at the sake of diversity are imposing their religious views, of which Anna and the woke and the progressive don't espouse to, against trans, which is a totally different bucket, but it's a whole bucket of irony. And then, in the order of racial justice, you have those exact same people who are put in place by diversity requirements and checkboxes are now protecting the minority students who are bullying the trans students in the ideal of restorative justice. Guys, you can't make this stuff up. Everything that we're looking at in this microcosm of an example is the effects of socialism on a population, which is why it always fails, which is why the left will always fail. Going back to what I said in the monologue, you are literally going to win this if you unify and recognize what's going on around you, because the way that has been proven to build nations and sustain nations and pass them on to the next generation is through the conservative ideals. Things such as nuclear families. I know, that's a horrible thing to say. Lower divorce rates. Kids with parents. A justice system that actually employs justice and keeps people in prison instead of the, oh my gosh, restorative justice. Surprise! It just came out again. This is so simple if you just know how to identify it and transcribe it into a way that people can understand what you're saying. And that's what we try to do on this podcast, because we will win this. In time, victory shall be ours. It's just up to us how much time that takes. But I would like to thank the Young Turks for a stunning segment of intellectual, sparkling conversation. Also proving our point and completely disproving socialism. But other than that, I do thank them for their time. And we come to a beautiful place now. The third segment, of which I have been looking forward to this whole time, because it turns out that Trump has abandoned his principles. He has. I'm looking at an article right here from the New York Times. Oh, excuse me. New York Times, that's right. That Trump, he chose politics over principles. Oh, well, they're talking about abortion, and we're about to crack this bad boy open. But I would just like to point something out that maybe it's me. Maybe the people in the back notice this too. I don't know. I'm pretty sure over the last 8 years that I've been told Trump is everything under the sun. One step beyond Satan, definitely Hitler, evil, democracy destroyer, racist, I mean, any other words, transphobe, homophobe, anything else that they could possibly elicit that sanctioned hatred and sanctioned anger, which we alluded to again earlier in the monologue. But all of a sudden, after 8 years of that, because Trump does a pivot and adjust his political stance on the abortion thing nationally, which just happens to take away one of the main cudgels from the left, all of a sudden, now it's, oh, he abandoned his principles, and you hate to see it. You do. What? These people are a joke. Because they do not believe Trump has principles. But because the political implications of him shifting on abortion policy has pretty much a dramatic effect on how the Democrats lead their attacks against him, because that was the only thing they really truly had that was resonating. Now all of a sudden, oh my goodness, don't you hate when politicians just abandon their principles? Trump was so principled, and unfortunately he is no longer principled. What planet are these people living on, and how dumb do they think we are? Like, honestly. But let's continue. I've got a few points here I want to really lay out, and then we'll wrap this, because the tabs of tyranny are begging for some attention. So on abortion, Trump chose politics over principle, but will it matter? With his video statement on Monday, Donald Trump laid bare how faulty a messenger he had always been for the anti-abortion cause. So now he's a faulty messenger for the anti-abortion cause from the left, who is all about abortion up until, like, literally a foot is hanging out. And it's like, oh, we should just kill it because it's still a fetus at this point, or it's still a clump of cells, which is idiotic position. But anyway, the whole point is, all of a sudden, he's violating his principles. But when Donald Trump ran for president in 2016, the leaders of the anti-abortion movement, yeah, we call that pro-life, but no big deal, extracted a series of promises from him in exchange for backing his nomination. He extracted it. Like oil? Just the words they choose sometimes are funny. They demanded Supreme Court justices who would overturn Roe v. Wade. Check. They insisted that he defund Planned Parenthood. Probably should, because it disproportionately affects minorities at a much larger rate than anyone else, which by woke policies and mathematics would be racism. They pushed for a vice president who was a champion of their cause, and each time he said yes, but that was then. It's just, guys, if you can't laugh while we do this, we might die, because it's so rich and stupid. But anyway, let's continue. We gotta really get to the meat of this. But in his four-minute video statement on Monday, Mr. Trump said the states and their voters should decide abortion policies for themselves. Oh my gosh. Decisions for yourself? Ugh. Of course I'm being sarcastic. The left doesn't want decisions for yourselves. They don't want individualism. They want a collective command from on high down to the little peons. You can see it everywhere that they go, every policy they make. It's always about, well, this 1 or 2% of the population that we've identified as a victim class, they're victimized. So therefore, we have to apply the exact same things to them, to everybody, to make them feel good. So the 98 and 99% of the population, well, you guys are just going to have to acquiesce to the 1%. No. Why? But understand, that's what they've done. You can look at any of the movements across the board of the last 3 to 4 years. It's always been based around this tiny little victim class that they create, and then everyone has to suffer and identify the exact same things. Whether you're talking about identifying transgender issues, or you're talking about women in, or men in women's sports, or transgender in sport, however you want to phrase it, everything is about acquiescing to the smallest 1%, the victim class. I swear, it's really an exercise in political power, because they want to see what they can make you do. But, you know, it's probably a leftover from everyone wear a mask and be 6 feet apart and jump on your left foot if you're going in a west wind, and jump on your right foot if it's a north wind, because COVID's coming. Anyway, sounds stupid, but if you were there, you know, we're in this together. But listen to this. Listen how bad this is. Still on the abortion principles article from the New York Times. This is a quote from Trump. It's just unconscionable. You must follow your heart, or in many cases, your religion or your faith, he said. Do what's right for your family and do what's right for yourself. Wow. Man, that is, tell you what, he abandoned some principles there. But now let's just talk about it for a second, because I am firmly, like, I do not support the idea of killing babies at the altar of convenience. I just do not like it. And there's really two reasons for it, and then I'm just kind of put this here, and then I'm going to say one more thing in this article. The first reason is, like I alluded to a second ago, I believe that you are making a baby, or what will become a baby, because the left likes to redefine things. I'm calling it a baby. They will basically be killed for your convenience, so your life doesn't change, so your financial expenditures don't change, so your situation in life, or just even fun, doesn't change. So you're avoiding accountability by killing a baby for your convenience. That right there, that's a calculation that I can't get behind. I just simply can't. That's my choice. See what I did there with choice? But the second thing, and this is the part that really boggles my mind. I don't understand why more people don't see it like this. It's just the way that I see it. Again, you guys can let me know in the comments and the ratings and the stars and the shares, all of it on this podcast. What could those babies become You know, like what could a momentary mistake translate to for the broader population and benefit? So, for example, if you had a child and it was a night of passion, or you were drunk, or the food was delicious, or whatever reason it is, I don't care, or he lied to you or she lied to you, there's supposed to be birth control, there's no birth control, you took a left when you should have taken a right, you know, all whatever. What could that child become for the betterment of society? Like, you know, what could they cause? I mean, excuse me, could they solve cancer? Could they solve diabetes? Could they find renewable resources of energy that we never have to worry about anything and don't have to have an overbearing climate tax? Well, I mean, to be fair, like, they're going to find something else to try to tax you. But the point is, so many problems could have been solved from the millions of babies that have been killed, but we'll never know because there was never even a chance. It was snuffed out at the start. So what are we throwing on the altar? Unexplored possibilities is really what I'm getting into. But you're snuffing it out before it even has a chance. And I don't like that. That doesn't make any sense, because some of the greatest things in this nation, in humanity, in our own personal lives, in my life, have come from things that did not work out according to plan. I don't know. That's just the way that I look at it. But you guys can let me know. But now that one last thing from Trump, and that's kind of where I stand with this, where Trump is. Mr. Trump said later he believed his statement defanged what he saw as a toxic issue for his party by liberating Republicans to run on more politically favorable issues, including what he described on social media as the horrible border, check, inflation, check, bad economy, check, check, and death and destruction of our country. All checks. And this is where it really boils down to. That's why I wanted to wrap with this one on this article. And we're actually going to wrap this podcast because time flies. He defanged the most potent attack that the left had against Trump. It was always, they're coming for your rights. They had to leverage the fear, anger, and anxiety in order to elicit hatred to get people out to the polls. Something that we've hit multiple times, multiple different ways on this podcast. By taking that stance politically, he just completely maneuvered around any of the attacks that they're going to hit and close that door. They can't go into immigration. They can't go into a horrible border. They can't go into bad economy. They can't go to inflation. They can't go to any of these things because they're horrible on them. My guess is they're probably going to shift back into my stomping ground of gun control versus gun rights, because that's the only one they have left now that abortion is kind of defanged. That's key. And I hope I landed that plane. Let me know what you guys think in those comments, in those reviews, in the stars, in the shares, all of it. And I will see you on the next episode of Positively American. Thank you again. See you.